I'm not afraid. Are you? The Watchman Speaks discusses biblical solutions to modern-day dilemmas. I'll tell you the truth, even if it's not what you want to hear. I am the old watchman, Ezekiel. I pray you listen. Welcome to The Watchman Speaks. I'm your host, Lonnie Richardson. I've been on vacation all last week, and it has been an enjoyable time. Cheryl and I began a leveling process around a fire pit that I built for her last fall. We've been spreading soil to level the area and have begun placing leveling pavers to pave the area. Now that's a slow process for older folks like us, but we will get it done. I've also gotten some time in the shop, too. I've managed to get a few projects completed, but I had one miserable fail. I said, I'll make some coasters. Coasters will be simple and easy, I said. Well, it ain't so. I cut and hand-sanded 18 coasters out of curly maple. They were beautiful. Notice I said hand-sanded. That was time-consuming, but it went well. I wet them down with water to raise the grain and sanded them again by hand. I applied the first coat of polyurethane, and that's when things went sideways. I sanded them after the first coat, again by hand. I applied a second coat of polyurethane, and the finish turned out uneven, and that's putting it mildly. I'm debating whether or not to sand them smooth and start over or just use them for fire starter. Making high-quality coasters, at least thus far, is not a cost-effective undertaking. But I did complete a walnut charcuterie board that turned out beautifully. Additionally, I finished a bread board made of olive wood that is nothing less than breathtaking. God knew what he was doing when he made grain patterns in wood, as well as the men who used the wood to make beautiful things from his creation. Two wins, one fail last week. That's where things stand. Last week was also my birthday. I completed 62 years on this earth and began my 63rd on May the 2nd of last week. Cheryl took me out for a nice dinner on Thursday night and took me antiquing on Friday. I found a good mix of old antique hand tools that I will restore and add to my woodworking arsenal. And Cheryl and the girls also got me a new tent for the Feast of Tabernacles when I take off from work and tent out in the backyard. That's how things have been going for me over the past week, and I have enjoyed it. But last week I went to prayer at our church one morning and flipped open my Bible, and it fell open to Isaiah chapter 22. Now, for those of you who may not be that familiar with Isaiah, let me bring you up to speed. Isaiah was a prophet whom God sent to warn Judah about their transgressions against God. Both the kingdoms, Israel and Judah, were not behaving godly at all. God sent them warnings, and they paid little to no heed. Let's begin with Isaiah chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, in that day the Lord God of hosts called you to weeping, to wailing, to shaving the head, to wearing sackcloth. Instead, there is gaiety and gladness, killing of cattle and slaughtering sheep, eating of meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. Now, if you read chapter 22, prior to these verses, you'll find that God is telling the people through Isaiah what he has shown Isaiah in a valley of vision. There are armies coming against the people. They have heard of the invasion. They have torn down houses to repair breaches in the walls around Jerusalem. They have built a reservoir within the city to hold water from the old pool. That's something that some of you may not know. There is no water in Jerusalem. It was furnished from outside the city by an aqueduct. But they built a reservoir within the city so that there would be water when the enemy attacked. They did all that on their own. And they did all that on their own, but they did not turn back to God. Verse 11 in chapter 22 reads, And you made a reservoir between the two walls for the waters of the old pool. But you did not depend on him who made it, nor did you take into consideration him who planned it long ago. So basically, the people are saying, God, who needs him? We can do this ourselves. And I'd like to draw your attention to the second part of verse 11. Nor did you take into consideration him who planned it long ago. Him who planned it long ago. God knew what was going to happen. He had it planned long ago. Remember that. I'm going to revisit that very soon. Now let's backtrack for a second to Isaiah chapter 21, verses 13 through 17. And it reads, "The oracle about Arabia. In the thickets of Arabia you must spend the night, O caravan of dead nights. Bring water for the thirsty, O inhabitants of the land of Tema. Meet the fugitive with bread, for they have fled from the swords, from the drawn sword and the bent bow, and from the press of battle. For thus says the Lord to me, in a year, as a hired man would count it, all the splendor of Kedar will terminate, and the remainder of the number of bowmen, the mighty men of the sons of Kedar, will be few. For the Lord God of Israel has spoken." Now bring water for the thirsty. Meet the fugitive with bread. They have fled from the drawn sword, the bent bow, the back press of battle. Now that's interesting whenever we look at our southern borders. But notice verse 16, in a year as a hired man would count. What does that mean? How would a hired man count a year differently than anyone else? I'm telling you as lovingly as I know how that God's time is important, and we would do well to know and understand how God tracks his time. The last thing that I want to be considered as is a hired man, but within that year, as the hired man counts, Kedar will have fallen, and its men will be few in number. And you may say, so? Well, the word Kedar means dark-skinned people. Kedar is also considered a people from the sons of Ishmael. Remember Ishmael? He was Abraham's son by his wife's maid, the root of Islam. The glory of Kedar was to be terminated. What is the glory of Kedar? It was their multitudes of men. It was their riches, in which primarily were vast flocks. It was their substance. These people moved around, living in tents. They are the ancestors of the Arabic Bedouin. What is important here is to realize that God is talking about the enemies of Judah. He will use the people of Kedar, the sons of Ishmael, or Babylon, to overthrow Judah, and he will crush them later on. Remember that. It's important. Now let's go to Isaiah 22, verses 15 through 25. And in case you're wondering why I'm skipping back and forth in Scripture, just let me say that the Bible is the most hyperlinked book ever written. It just doesn't contain hyperlinks. You have to actually read it and pray. Holy Spirit will lead you to the hyperlinks. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, come, go to the steward, to Shebna, who is in charge of the royal household. What right do you have here, and whom do you have here, that you have hewn a tomb for yourself here? You who hew a tomb on the height, you who carve a resting place for yourself in the rock. Behold, the Lord is about to hurl you headlong, old man, and he is about to grasp you firmly and roll you tightly like a ball to be cast into a vast country. There you will die, and your splendid chariots will be, you shame of your master's house. I will depose you from your office, and I will pull you down from your station. Then it will come about in that day that I will summons my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with your tunic, and tie your sash securely about him. I will entrust him with your authority, and he will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut, and when he shuts, no one will open. I will drive him like a peg in a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house. So they will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, offspring and issue, and all the least of the vessels, from bowls to all the jars. And that day, declares the Lord of hosts, the peg driven in a firm place will give way. It will even break off and fall, and the load hanging on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken. Now, friends, that's some strong language in that passage. It might even be considered frightful to some, but I'm not afraid. Let me tell you why. Let's fast forward to present day. There are a lot, and I mean a lot of people who are afraid. Price of gasoline continues to climb. Price of groceries do too. I have a household of 6 people to feed. I know gasoline prices continue to rise because my feelings get hurt every time I pull up to a gasoline pump. My Ram pickup identifies as an electric vehicle, but it won't run on electricity, so I fill it with gas to make it run. That hurts my truck's feelings, but such is the state of reality. My homeowner's insurance increased 18% last year, merely because the cost of building materials has increased so much. The cost of health care is on the rise, too. It seems the government's had their hand in that cookie jar, too, for the federal laws, which are supposedly for our protection, increase the cost of the care that is provided legally. And there are a lot of folks who have lost their grip on reality. There are males who identify as women. There are women who identify as males. There are people who go so far as to surpass transgender and delve into trans species. I'm a cat. I'm a dog. Such as like which I've never heard of before. It's not that they have a physical problem or an emotional problem or a mental problem. No, they have a spiritual identity crisis. If it's not a spiritual identity crisis, then a psychiatric diagnosis has swept over the globe in measure that would make COVID look like a hiccup. It's a diagnosable condition, and that does not make it any less destructive than, say, alcoholism. And you have the homosexual community who actually believe and want you to believe God made them that way. They would have you believe, if you are so naive, that God condones and blesses their identity that is based solely on their sexuality. God did no such thing. Today we have the war going on between Ukraine and Russia. Israel is at war with Hamas, Hezbollah, and you might as well say Iran too. China and North Korea are just sitting quietly in the wings, waiting. It is no wonder that people worldwide are afraid. There's just so much chaos and uncertainty around us. Therein we find that history is indeed repeating itself. It's all happened before, more than once, and it's happening again. That's what we're seeing in Isaiah chapter 22. America has turned her back on God much the same as the kingdom of Judah had done in Isaiah. God sent Isaiah to warn Judah, and through his word, the Holy Bible, of what was and is to come. God is calling a nation to repent. Does the United States need to turn and repent? Yes, I believe that it does. God is calling us to repent, but America is too busy partying and saying, "Let us eat and drink." They're not even worried about dying. Their only concern is for the party. But God said, go to the steward of the royal household. That could possibly be our president. And ask what right does he have to carve out his tomb, his legacy in a high place. God said that he would roll the steward up like a ball and cast him into a vast country where he would die. Now, am I saying that Joe Biden is going to be cast into a foreign country and die? No, I never said that. But I can't help but wonder if God has something in store for our president. I pray for him to turn and repent every day. President Biden claims to be a good Catholic, but his words and actions do not exhibit such. Well, neither does the Pope, for that matter. But God said that he would depose the steward from his office and pull him down from his position. In that day, God will summon his servant Eliakim to serve in the steward's place. Now, let's talk about Donald Trump. Is Trump the Eliakim that God is talking about? Maybe. Maybe not. But let's don't get too overly excited just yet. Let's explore the scripture a little further. God said that he would put the key of David on Eliakim's shoulder, that he would put the tunic and the sash of Shebna, the one in charge of the royal household, on Eliakim. He would give Eliakim all of Shebna's authority. What Eliakim opens, no one will shut. What Eliakim closes, no one will open. Are you beginning to see the similarities between Shebna, Eliakim, and Biden and Trump? There are similarities. God says that he will drive Eliakim like a peg into a firm place. Now, I understand that in the time and culture of Isaiah, a wooden peg is often used to join two or more pieces together to hold them securely together. It is an implement that held massive beams in place. God goes on to say that Eliakim will become a throne of glory to his father's house. God goes on to say that Eliakim will be given by the people all the glory of his father's house, the offspring, all the issues, and all the vessels. That means that Eliakim will be given ultimate authority as man measures authority. God was talking about leadership in the time of Isaiah. Could God be talking about Biden and Trump today? I don't know. God has not given me any thus saith the Lord messages about who will be the winner of the next presidential race. But I'll tell you this much, and this much I know for certain. I will not hang my hat or the security of my family on either Joe Biden or Donald Trump. I'll not gamble my beliefs with either man, even if God is talking about Biden and Trump. Let's look at Isaiah 22, verse 25 more closely. And it reads, "In that day declared the Lord of hosts, the peg driven into a firm place will give way. It will even break off and fall, and the load hanging on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken." Now those who want to lay claim to the Bible and announce that God is comparing Biden and Trump to Shebna and Eliakim are foolish. Even if it were so, there is very little comfort to be gained. Even if it were so, Trump would be broken and all that is held in his power would be cut off. God said so. Here's the takeaway, and you're probably not going to like it. But these modern prophets that spoke some 4 years ago proclaiming that Biden would never be president, they said that God told them that Trump would be president. One even went so far as to say that God told him that there would be 4 more years of Trump and 8 years of Pence. That didn't happen, and from the looks of things, it ain't gonna happen. Yet the prophets have never said, "Oops, I missed that. I apologize for letting my own agenda bear on my tongue." Nope, they never said that. Well, one that I know of did. But these prophets even gave biblical examples of what God had told them, but it never came to pass. Am I giving an example of two men from Isaiah chapter 22 and comparing it to today's melee between Biden and Trump? No, I'm not going to do that. I will say that there are similarities in what is going on. I can read and see it as a fact. Is that what is reoccurring today? Maybe, maybe not. I couldn't say with any amount of certainty. So forgive me if I've confused you, for I assure you that it is not my mission to do so. While it may appear that I have presented a possibility or maybe even a probability, I cannot honestly say that God has told me that such comparisons are spot on. I can say that I can read the Bible and see that these things, under similar situations and circumstances, did not go well for either Shebna or Eliakim. I suppose that it is possible that these things, if they occur, may not go well for Joe Biden or ultimately Donald Trump, for that matter. I don't know for certain. Here's what I do know. I find Joe Biden and Donald Trump both too leaky a vessel to place any amount of hope in, for they are mere men. Remember a few minutes ago when I was talking about verse 11 in Isaiah 22? No? Well, here's a reminder. And you made a reservoir between the two walls for the waters of the old pool, but you did not depend on him who made it, nor did you take into consideration him who planned it long ago. Now here's what I don't know is Isaiah 22, which overthrows Shinab, leading to his death in favor of Eliakim, who was to be broken at a later time as an example of Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I don't know. I pray that it does not have to be taken that far for any man, or for either man. What I do know is that Biden and Trump are fierce and proud men. They are quick to point out what they have done and what the other has or has not done. They are powerful, self-reliant men. Neither man seems to be depending on God to do anything. Way too many Americans, Christians even, have hung their hat and their hope on one of these two men. The problem being that the people or either of these men are not depending on God, nor have they taken into consideration that God has all this planned since long ago. What the people, even Christians, are looking for is a Savior when the Savior is waiting on them. What do I mean when I tell Christians that the Savior is waiting on them? I mean that he is waiting for them to cease their dependence upon a man in government and begin depending on him. And I'm sorry if I've misled you into thinking that I was presenting some theological reference or evidence in the Bible indicating who would win the next presidential election. That's not what I do. I said before, I'm not a prophet in the sense that I hold the office of God's prophet. However, I am familiar with God's prophets in the Bible, and I find them to be spot on every time I've consulted their God-given words. I can tell you I'm not hanging my hope or my faith on a man who holds public office. I can tell you that it has only been the last 5 years that I've come to understand prophecy or the spirit of prophecy is found in the testimony of Jesus Christ. I can tell you that has only been in the last 5 years that I discovered that I have not lived until it was revealed to me by Holy Spirit of the living God that I live in the hope of one who is worth dying for. That someone is Jesus. He is worth living for. He is worth dying for. He died for us. Neither Joe Biden or the Democratic Party or Donald Trump and the Republican Party are going to die for you. Why would I place my trust, my hope, in any of those entities when there is Jesus who had me and my best interest at heart when he died on a cross that was rightfully mine? Think about that. If you're one who is caught up in all the political hoopla presently, pray about it. If you're consumed with these modern-day prophets foretelling the election of the next president, pray about it hard. Do you truly want to put your hope in a man? Or is your hope and your faith in God Almighty? I am the old watchman, Ezekiel, and you have been warned. Well, that's all for now. I thank you for your time and participation. Our time together is precious to me. Please, come and visit me at theoldwatchman.com for show notes, articles, video content, book reviews, Bible study material reviews, and Bible study methods. It's my hope and prayer that you get to know me through this podcast. Through the website at theoldwatchman.com, I can get to know you. If you like the content, consider following The Old Watchman on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. See you next time. May nothing in your life be missing. Nothing in your life be broken. Shalom.